time to call this first meeting of the first monthly meeting of the first of the year of Port of Fort Towns into order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okey dokey. We've got the agenda in front of you. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda, additions to the agenda? Okay, with no additions, we'll proceed to the first item on the agenda.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I make a motion to approve.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so now we'll go to the election of officers, the first item on the agenda. Who wants to start with the election of officers?
I move we keep the positions like they are.
And I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yay, okay. Consent agenda. Has everyone had a chance to look at the consent agenda?
Yep.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve the agenda, the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. We have some public here today. Go ahead, John.
John Zimmer, Korean Fort Towns Marine Trade Association. Just a quick comment about mid-November, roughly on or about November 19th, we sent an email to Larry, and I believe it was copied to the commissioners. And we got no response on that. So since we contribute directly to the economic development in the port, in the future we expect a reply to any and all correspondence.
Could you remind us as what that email might have been?
Remind me what email it was?
It was about, the email was about the budget. We're trying to get some questions answered and stuff for the budget. I believe Brad Kleinfelter was the only one who responded.
Okay. I'll go back in my email history and see if I pull that up.
Yeah, and I'll look too.
And that was on November the 19th?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other, Pete?
Pete Langley with Fort Towns Foundry. Just one of recent increases, recent rate hikes, certain things definitely have an effect on economic development, not only through your own back pocket, but through some of us others out there in business. And just want to relate that there are definitely impacts being done and will be felt, I think, very shortly for the port. So some of those considerations may want to be taken to heart, that you're getting early feedback that there are people going to be moving out of the port, quite a few. Obviously that's happening because one, financial rates they can't afford, but that's going to diminish your income if you can't replace those vessels. Some wooden boat vessels being considered derelict or the other are also concerns because we have done work for those customers over 4 years. Other vessels that have been here upwards almost 25 years in the yard have not been considered derelict, but yet they've paid thousands of dollars, but those boats are going to move. They're going to continue, but the whole time those vessels were here, they were paying outside contractors, outside people, and outside businesses while they were here. So I think you want to really consider some of that reputation that you're putting out, that we're no longer the wooden boat maker we used to be. We're going to be an extractor, and only an extractor of the high-end financial part, and no longer a middle-class lifestyle and or ability to hold businesses.
So just so I'm clear, the rates you're referring to are not the mortgage rates, but the yard rates, right?
Yard rates and the others going up. And obviously, some of the people that are being impacted that have long-term projects, even though they're long-term, they work by themselves, they're do-it-yourselfers or the other. I'm sure many of you have all been there. They take a long time. I know Bill Weiss's project to want over 25 years this year. He's paid faithfully. He's paid every contractor person that's worked on it. But it's his baby, and that's what he does as his hobby. And we don't want to just be shoving those guys out and feel like they can go, like Bill said just recently, was he can build a whole brand new building on a separate lot and pay for it over the next 10 years and still work on his project and end up with something on the end. So you want to be careful how much you cut. You know, this golden goose that community workers that were working on their boats that are no longer going to do it in the port. Just an observation.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
Please, Pete. Mm-hmm. Any other public comments not related to the agenda? Okay, so we're now going to recess this public court meeting and begin a meeting of the Industrial Development Corporation of the Port of Port Townsend. So now the Industrial Development, I'm calling to order the meeting of the Industrial Development Corporation of the Port of Port Townsend. So basically our agenda today is to elect officers, approve the minutes. The minutes that we're approving are the minutes for last year, which you have in front of you. And we didn't really do anything except discuss what this is and elect officers. So I guess the first thing I should do is we should elect officers for the Industrial Development Corporation. We have a motion to...
And on page 10, page 10 shows the current officers for the IDC.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the current officers are Stephen Tuckerbite, President, David Thompson, Vice President, and...
No, wrong one.
No. The staff...
They're reading the minutes from a year.
They're reading the minutes.
Page 10.
There we go. So it's President Steve Tucker, Vice President Brad Kleinfelter, Secretary Pete Hankey. So, do we have motions for election of officers for the Industrial Development Corporation?
I make a motion they stay the same.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so now I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. I have a comment on the minutes. Were you... Let's see, where was that? Were you the only one there for that meeting? Is that what I understood?
At that meeting?
Yeah.
No, it was...
It was the meeting 2014, we were all there.
Yeah.
It was the one that we approved the minutes for.
This is the 2013 minutes. Right. And Leif Erickson and Dave Thompson, by the time... These minutes are approved a year after that meeting. And Leif and Dave, their terms had expired. So they weren't here to approve those in January of 2014.
Okay. So, okay. Doesn't really
matter. So you approved, this time last year, you approved the 2013 minutes, which had Leif and Dave on the board. And again, this is, we talked about this at the workshop this morning in the background, the IDC, and in order for us to keep our legal status as an industrial development corporation, we have to, at a minimum, hold one business meeting a year. And most of the ports, again, I think there's like eight ports that still have this authority, us being one of them. Most of us do it in January just to make sure we did it and get it in the books. So, but one thing, Connor, just so you know, at the workshop, we discussed at length about some commission, some topics to discuss at a series of commission retreats this year. And one of the things, since... we got a fairly new commission, but also staff could use an update. And Alf, Carolyn, for you, or it might be the ones. We could also bring in Alan Dashing or Cynthia Weed, but kind of a tutorial on just what authorities port districts have as an industrial development corporation. How it works and how is it used. I think there's some limits on the money and that sort of thing. So,
I'm more than happy to do that, but either in person or through memorandum, just kind of the highlights of the purpose of the industrial development district. The power
website today, Port of Seattle, Anacortes, Bellingham, Centralia, Chehalis, Everett, Grace Harbor, Moses Lake, Port Andrews, Skagit County, and Port Townsend are the only districts that still have the authority, so.
I'd be more than happy to do that, Larry.
So we've never used this since I've been here, but we just keep the legal status going.
Right.
So if we need to utilize the IDC, we just call together a meeting and discuss business for the IDC.
If we had a proposal or from a local business, it has to be within our district, I believe, obviously. And when the board meets, you go from there.
Okay, any further business to discuss in the IDC?
Well, yeah, we don't this is not the same format as our normal meetings, and so we don't have a format here for an addition to the minutes or the...
Or an agenda.
Just for the agenda, excuse me. And, you know, and we discussed a letter this morning to some degree that Port Townsend Foundry had, apparently we all three have received. And so is there a means to discuss that at this point in time?
Can I interrupt? Item four in the IDC on the agenda is new business.
Yeah, I would just say...
Well, it says none.
Yeah, because we did...
So that's what I'm getting at, because it says none, so can we change that?
Yeah.
This is once you're saying, yes.
And also, we had to write this so we could do it before.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
Just change, modify, and add it to the end.
Don't be sorry.
So can we talk about it now?
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
Do we want to...
I haven't had a chance to digest the letter yet, but...
Okay, well, that's... Yeah, well, since staff isn't prepared with, you know, what we can do yet, because this is all brand new, I suggest what we do is let Pete discuss what he's after, and then staff will have an idea of what we can do after we know what we're after. So Pete, are you ready to talk to us about it?
Sure. Can I make one comment? So then at another meeting, we can just reopen IDC whenever we want.
Yeah, I think it would be better to plan it. You know, I'd say, okay, at the second meeting of February, we're also going to, you know, convene another meeting of the IDC or something like that.
So, anyway, a brief understanding, the letter's intent is, from our intent, is to research the IDC, one is it hasn't been used. But I also believe that's a tool that helps level the playing field. Nonprofits gets grants, the port can get grants and do other things, but the port now has an authority to actually help an industrial business that does provide manufacturing jobs another incentive, which is low-interest money and or potentially low-interest money, along with other combined things. It helps level the playing field for a community to be able to support the various types of economic development. So my goal is to see that we get the information, all the strings, bells, whistles, whatever has to come from the state to port to put together a plan to look at a possibly two or three stage funding source for us to actually secure assets of property to put new infrastructure into the foundry. Steve, Brad have been there probably most recently over the years to see what we do, but a lot of the things we need to do are intense economic development investment. $100,000 furnace or another piece of equipment done there, put in there, could attribute to 10 to 20 more jobs. If you look at the foundry industry in general, 500 employee foundry is still considered a small business. So when you look at the potential, I'm no longer going to be there for another 35 years to continue doing this, but the craftsmen that work for me now are getting a worldwide reputation for their craftsmanship, their product. Recently, the foundry was just in a German magazine, 5 pages, 30-some photographs of them all working in the foundry. And that kind of publicity we've gotten over the last several years are building up to a point that we either got to keep up with the demand for the product or fold it up and let them go home. And I don't want to see these young men who have worked, some of them almost 12 years now for us, be left holding a bag later on once I'm gone and not be able to have an industry that's viable to pay for their family's wages and living. So the reputation that we've got worldwide is helping us support this demand and or goal to see that the IDC could open up some of the tools we could really use for capital investment to make this thing roll way beyond my lifetime and probably even theirs. Most of our foreign competitors have all dropped off the vine. Again, I can go back to when I started the foundry in Port Townsend, there were 389 foundries in the state of Washington. There's less than 40 of us left. Puts a critical demand on either we're going to keep up with the supply and or keep up with the production that needs to happen, or we go by the wayside. So that's why I'm looking at researching this, looking at it as a long-term project to help keep these young people employed in our community as well. Each job that they perform out there creates a minimum of 3 other jobs within the community, and sometimes it's up to 5. And those are state figures, so we can't deny that the money that would come from having a valuable product made locally and sold worldwide would bring money to town, help the port's financial problems because it generates tax revenue, sales, and business for the local shipwrights and or talent that are putting those pieces to work. So that's kind of my goal, so let's let's investigate this, see how it's available, whether it makes sense, and then we'll reconvene. So I'm asking for as much information from you fellows and your input. I'd like to entertain any, either all three of you at individual times, obviously. Come see what we do, get further into the nuts and bolts of what we can do, get a better idea of where we're going to go.
So what you're after is our input on figuring out what the strings are to the IDC and how it works. And what we'd like, at least like what I'd like to see, is if you have a roadmap of what kind of funding source, funding goals you have and for when and for what, that'd be...
Well, we've been working with the University of Wausau Small Business Development Center. I have several consultants on that end that do everything from import and export development, as well as the business lineup and getting the numbers crunched. So that is our plan, is to develop a number and a plan. And I've even spoken a little bit with Brett. I'll use the same criteria the port does to evaluate the analysis and plan to make sure it's both good for the community, it's good for the business, and eventually it pans out for the long run. And the best part of this is it doesn't affect the port's bonding ability or any of the other stuff. It brings a bunch of money from the state to town, which then we would be spending locally, putting contractors, whoever it needs to work, and at the end result, keeping these jobs and more people going.
Thank you, Pete.
Do you have an approximate idea how much money we...
Probably the first go around, somewhere between 500 and 600,000. And then if that doesn't, you know, again, that doesn't, we don't know what the criteria is.
Yeah, that's, I guess, where I'm coming from. I seem to remember, and we also got to do a little homework here and check on it. It seems like I remember like $1 million was the minimum starting.
And then, then if we look at it and have this increase those levels, and again, talking about what's being spent in the world, Dynacast in South Carolina just sold for $1.2 billion. Most of the major foundries that are surviving right now are investing anywhere from $18 to $100 million in infrastructure. So the numbers don't really, it's finding where that criteria and bottom line to make sense is. And if we were talking about putting in the full power upgrades, furnace equipment and the other could easily exceed $2 million, easily.
Maybe, Connor, we ought to speed up our timeline a little bit then on finding out what we can and can't do under an IDC.
And I don't think it'd be that difficult to have something ready for the next commission meeting, yeah. You know, at least.
Maybe have a briefing at the next workshop.
Or have a briefing at the next workshop.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Okay, so it seems like we had some business at the IDC. That's a groundbreaking thing. Any other business? Minutes been approved, the business has been taken care of, so I'm going to recess this meeting of the Industrial Development Corporation and reconvene.
I don't show that you guys approve the minutes. These are you for the officers.
Well, we can reapprove them if
you
like.
And then you went down to new business.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Approved. Okay, so now we're recessed. And now we're back in, we've just reconvened the meeting of the Port of Port Townsend. So, in the meeting of the Port of Port Townsend, we're on to the second reading items. And the first on the second reading items is the Point Hudson Breakwater.
And what staff is asking here is, because of the length of the permitting process for breakwater, we really need to get started on this, so we have a chance of, you know, targeting the 2016 work window. And we're still waiting on final word from the voting infrastructure grant, the federal money, but things are looking pretty good. And if we're going to accept that money, it's essentially going to be the project that we submitted the application for, which was a replacement. Now, the final design and everything, you know, we can still work with. But, you know, as we had talked last time about seeing if there's some way you do a repair instead of replacement, if we're going to take that $1 million or so, it's going to have to be a replacement project. And personally, I think that's the only way to, if we're going to fix it, we need to fix it and be done with it. So, anyway, I'd like to get your go-ahead to start the permitting process. Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, DNR.
Well, I agree with you that we need to replace it as opposed to repair. I don't see we have any other choice.
Yeah.
permitting, one way or the other, getting the tools in hand to proceed forward is pretty key. So I think this request is kind of in line with doing that, getting those tools accomplished.
No, I move that we propose the permitting start.
Okay, we'll get the documents together, get it going.
Okay.
And even if we phase the project to, meet our bonding capability, or we do, say, the South Point Water, and then come back a couple of years later, these permits are good for multiple years, so, but we need to get them going. Thank you.
So since this is a motion that was moved and seconded, are all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, okay. All right, that's your margin orders for that. The lease with Todd Fly.
Jim.
Todd Fly was in the last meeting, and I think safe to say we all agree that Mr. Fly is an excellent craftsman, and we should support him any way we can. We've met a couple times and talked about different options. He really wants to own the shelter. We talked about possibly the port buying it. He really would like to buy it. So he is agreeing to pay the miscellaneous storage rate of 25 cents per foot instead of the 10 cents a foot that Aaron was paying. So with that, staff thinks it's great. So we have 5 years with the property option. He's going to be reskinning the shelter and getting his own power, because that shed was connected to the metal building power. And now he's going to have to get his own power, but he's agreed to do that. So we'd like to support him.
He's going
to
leave it where it is? Okay. So you were wanting our approval for the lease?
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Stormwater sand filter contract.
This is all part of a level 3 response. We went out to bid. We had 3 contractors bid. The lowest bidder that was also responsible was Seton Construction. And the bid sheet is in your packet for counting the sales tax. Came in at $62,959. So we would recommend that we approve that and sign a contract with Seton and get on with this. And I might remind, what was the original estimate?
125.
So we're essentially half what the original estimate was.
And he's local.
And this one happened to be a local contract.
But like I said in this write-up, and I really want to congratulate Al and Larry. Al and Larry went above and beyond the call of duty to figure out a way to not only not disrupt our yard, but come up with a way to make it a better system that Ecology bought off on. So kudos to staff for really working that from
$125,000 to $62,000.
Yeah. Cool.
Big cool. Good news. So, yes, it is good news, and it's something to keep in mind when we hear about cost containment, if we're actually doing it. So I'd like to make a motion that we accept the Seton Construction contract.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, commission meeting dates, location, and procedures.
This is kind of another one of those administrative things that has to be done each year. The commission needs to adopt a resolution that lays out the dates that our regular meetings will be held and the procedures. And we talked about this last month so that we could go to a second reading. And what we tried to do, Sue went through the calendar to try to minimize the dates that we, during the year, have to change because of a WPPA conference or a holiday or something. So we think we've captured, all those. So with that, I'd recommend approval.
Well, I'd like to comment on one item here, though, and that is the deletion of the second public comment. And I just must say I'm adamantly against that.
I think that one thing that we've been kind of not really doing very well, of a good job of, is the public comments. And this is one thing, I'm not sure if it got really memorialized in this resolution or not. But most of the meeting procedures that I've looked at in other port districts, just to figure out how much public comment is allowed, they'll have a public comments somewhere. And then they'll have the public comments related to the agenda item. And when you have the agenda item, like if you look on here, it just says Point Hudson Breakwater and that's it. A lot of ports will underneath that little heading have A, or one, public comments, two, commission deliberation, and three, resolution or motion. And that, what that does is it then gives the public a specified time. Here's your time to comment on agenda items. And really, it's in there because it's in there by default because it says public comments not related to the agenda. So then, by inference, you figure that you're going to be able to publicly comment on agenda items. But we're going to actually, my idea is actually put it in there, just like I stated. Point Hudson Breakwater, A, public comments, B, staff or commission deliberation, and C, move all. So in other words, then, and I don't care where we put them, there'll be a public comments section. I would suggest leaving them at the end because then they can come in on whatever they want. And, you know, if they didn't get their 2 cents in at the agenda item, then they'll get a chance to comment it again at the end. But I think that it's important that there's a chance for public to comment on things that we're talking about on the agenda, and also things that aren't related to the agenda. But there's, I mean, we don't have, having so many of them, I can't see two of them, I think should be plenty.
Okay, Steve, so under the rules of transaction of business, where specifically is the public going to have an opportunity to comment on a specific agenda item, and it is how it's written here?
Well, basically, if you look here, it says second reading, action items, first reading, discussion only.
Yes.
Within those parts, you're going to have, this doesn't show the whole thing, it's got your headings, like here.
Uh-huh.
Then underneath, using second reading today as an example, under A, Point Hudson Breakwater, underneath A would be another set of sub-bullets, with the first sub-bullet 1 being public comments. The second sub-bullet would be commissioner discussion. Basically, it's just going to be more clear as to how the meeting will run, when the public gets to comment. When it comes to the agenda item, we'll peer out over the public, see if anyone wants to comment. As it is now, we really kind of go by that.
Well, my point is it's not specified here in this rules of transaction.
Okay.
That's the problem I'm having.
It's not written
there.
Well, yeah. Well, I suggest that we write it. First off, if you guys agree with me, I think that would be the place to put it. That way,
as long as they have an opportunity, that's all I'm worried about.
Right, and I'm thinking that that's giving them the opportunity. Plus, it's spelling out this is the time you want to talk about this.
I would just weigh in that I appreciate the public comments at the end of the meeting because a lot of times points come out during the course of all these topics that, you know, it's nice to hear what people are thinking. So.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So do I, yeah. So I think we should leave the public comments at the end, the last one. And then the first one is fine. But then I think that the first one could just then be put in, as I described, into the first reading and the second, well, basically into the headings of all of the agenda items. Just put in there public comment, commission discussion, and then motion and resolution.
So I would make the other argument that keep the first public comment not related to the agenda, because oftentimes we'll get some citizen that just wants to be heard. They don't want to sit through a 2-hour meeting, listen to everything else. They just want their one comment, and then they leave. You know, so
like Carol, I remember Carol came in here one time and read a statement about the linear doc thing.
Now we can add into the words that public comment will be taken with each agenda item in second and first reading as appropriate. You know, obviously, a lot of times nobody wants to say anything. But this came out of our discussion after the WPPA thing with Schmelich. Remember, this thing on open meetings where, you know, there is no legal requirement for public comment. Public debate is not a good idea.
I really don't see why we need to change it at all. I mean, with the way it's been working, and we've been, you know, when the agenda item's up and some folks have had something important to say, then nobody has a problem speaking up, whether it's on here or not. So I don't see what the problem is.
I'm actually with Brad. Goes well the way it goes.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that too.
This model just added back in.
Okay.
I think one of the things that we talked about is being a little more business-like in the conduct of our meetings and not let the public comment period get into where you got people in the audience talking to each other but not to the commission type thing. And, but that's, you know, one of the presidents, you know.
Yeah, that's my job.
Things,
So, don't sign resolution 16315, right?
Okay. Well, what you can do is approve it, we'll modify, and then when you come by the office, you sign it if you want.
Okay.
We could consider a motion to amend.
So.
What's before the commission right now? And just to add, just, you know, based on my experience here, oftentimes there is public comment right immediately after an agenda item is considered, so I don't think it's that bad of idea, Chair, to provide that formal process to say that now, as we consider this item of business, we're going to allow those who have comments on this agenda item to speak. So I think it's a good idea, going back to the previous format, which the commission wants to do, kind of reserves that to the end of the meeting. So my only comment would be just acknowledging that through the course of meetings, you know, oftentimes there's this desire to get comment on agenda items right as they're discussed, because that's kind of what's fresh in the public's mind. But
yeah, one of the things that was told to me, that the reason, for example, Olympia delineated it so clearly instead of just opening up as open field, is that this way each person gets a chance to comment, and then when the public comments are finished, then the deliberation can occur uninterrupted, because the comments have already been heard and you're not taking time out to listen to this and listen to that and talk about something else, then somebody else has something else. You can just go right through it and get to the crux of the issue. So,
and the way I've seen that work is when you have kind of a good description of the action that the board is going to take. So in other words, if we added, because oftentimes people don't have their comment if they don't know exactly what the port's considered. So they know the port's considering a lease, but what it's a lease for 5 years with a 5-year renewal. So kind of that bullet of information, and then taking comment, and then the commission deliberation and the commission decision. I've seen that work when you provide a little bit more context on the front end. So
yeah, briefing kind of front.
We already do that with new business.
Yeah, we have the entire resolution.
Taking of what's coming up with all of the particulars, and then there's plenty of time between that and the next meeting to comment, whether it's an email or a phone call or a cup of coffee or anything. So I think we're kind of going overboard on trying to make sure everybody gets a chance to comment.
So Bertrand, being one of our lead public commenters, do you have a comment?
I do. First of all, I think I think you've been very gracious in opening up the meetings. It's really made just a tremendous change in the relationship between the public. So I congratulate you for that. And I would encourage you to continue that. We feel like we are able to participate more. So I think having the opportunity, there's no formalized way, but you do offer every new business time for us to discuss it. I really appreciate it. And I've been coming to these meetings for 7-8 years now, and I don't think the last comments at the end of the meeting are really ever utilized anyway. Sue can probably check the but I don't think they're mostly, it's a courtesy. And I think as long as we keep that, as long as it's not heavily used, just leave it in and see where it goes.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess what we're doing is we decided we like it the way it was.
John Zimmer had a...
Oh, I'm sorry, did you have another?
I sort of agree. I don't know your name, I'm sorry. Connor.
Connor.
Sometimes the bullet things are not always clear. And my experience at these meetings has been sort of informal to a certain extent, where there is discussion, and sometimes we do get a comment because it does make things more clear once you start discussing things that Larry explained to Jim. And then we have a bit better idea of what's being talked about. If it's just something written here, I mean, I haven't looked at this packet till just now, which is my own problem, but you know, the executive director's delegation of authority resolution number doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's included in the...
Not that it needs comment, but I mean, yes, it is, but I'm saying I'm just trying to read all this now. So I may not have a comment before you start discussing things.
But then, John, here's a question for you. So on that point, like the executive director, so that's in new business, so we won't make a decision today. they'll present it, we'll hear it.
I guess I'm responding because you had mentioned in new business.
Right.
So I started looking at that.
Right. And then we have 2 weeks.
And then you have another meeting. Okay.
But they still can comment on new business.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, even on second reading, you know.
But you can come back and comment on second reading.
Right. Mm-hmm. I guess I do concur with Bertram. I like the little bit of informality, mm-hmm. the fact that there is give and take here. And it's not so structured you feel sort of walled out.
Yeah. Well, it's a better way for us to get a reasonable information to make the best decision possible. So we need your feedback.
Yeah, and one thing I think.
And they do coach us not to take it. Yeah, seriously, that's what they say.
No public comment. And they're like, well, I figured out.
But one thing that's useful is that we always have our agendas published on the internet on Friday.
Right.
And so the whole thing is there. And I personally think that getting comments by email, because then like Pete did, you know, he gave us his letter about IDC in an email. We had a chance to consider it and, you know, think about it a bit and talk about it. So I think that public comments are good, but I think email comments with the agenda being posted so that you have the weekend to ruminate on it are really also very helpful. And like Brad said, without this, we're making these decisions in a vacuum, so we really need this.
Plus, staff is always available if you have a question about something coming up the next week, you know, like a lease or something, be happy to give you the background of it. And so many of our issues have a history to them. You know, they suddenly appear on the agenda, but it might be 6 months of other work that went into it to get to that point. So.
Right.
George, did you have a comment?
You just answered it.
Okay.
The basic thing is there's no question that it's really important to have community. There needs to be expectations both from the commission and from the speakers as to some limits. For instance, if there's a number of people here, a time limit system should be in place. You may want some kind of a request that a speaker only speak once and not get into somebody attempting to yield time to a speaker that's already spoken. Those kinds of things would I think really facilitate the discussion that you're asking and inviting the citizens to participate.
Great. So I make a motion that we amend this resolution to be the same as it, for the format to be the same as it already is.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Will do.
Okay, engineering services discussion.
We had a pretty good discussion, I think, this morning in the workshop about this. You know, the idea or concept was to bring an engineer on board for a period of time this year to go around and make a structural assessment of our various facilities and provide us a report, which would then feed in to our deliberations on future capital projects, maybe some decisions on property and the future of those properties and eventually the budget process. So as we mentioned this morning, we've been in contact with an engineer that we'll be meeting with here shortly and getting some more ideas to bring back to you.
Do you have any cost estimates yet?
Not until we actually go out. I threw out $50,000-$60,000 this morning. It really depends a lot on our expectations, how detailed of analysis do we want. It's a direct correlation. The more detail, more work, the more expensive it's going to be. But I would still hold with that $50,000 figure.
So are you guys okay if I sit in with this meeting you have scheduled later this month?
That's fine. I don't think we have a date yet, but we'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I see this, having some more discussion maybe at the next workshop.
So are we doing anything on this? Is on a second reading. Is this an action item or are we just?
No, this is more of an update. Getting more guidance. I think this morning we kind of vetted this pretty well.
Okay, so then
before you leave that one, there's few gentlemen here that were here this morning that I think were
gone.
I'm kind of sorry you guys, Bertram and Vigo, missed what we discussed this morning in the workshop, because we talked quite a bit about what we're trying to accomplish or hoping to accomplish with this engineer's evaluation and you know, to what extent it's going to be and you know, and the level of detail. I'm going to try and reiterate everything we said this morning, but maybe we get together later and I can fill you in on what was discussed.
It's certainly something you guys have talked a lot about.
Right.
Well, what we're trying to do is put a timeline to what's it going to take to get it where we need it to be,
sure.
The port in total. So, and what's it going to cost? And so, seems like what we were saying is we ought to put some money out to bring someone in that can kind of help us get to that point where we can understand this.
In principle, I think it's a great idea. I don't know whether $50,000 includes benefits, because all of a sudden that bumps it up even more, and there may be, having on a contract still may be a better way if you have somebody who's committed.
I agree. I'm reticent to want to spend more money at all,
right,
where we're at. So, but at the same time, I'm also feeling like we got to bring somebody in that can make that assessment.
I think that's part of our analysis. You know, once we meet and decide what the product is we want, then we can run the numbers. Is it better to bring the person on as a part-time employee for 6 months, 10 months, or whatever, or just do a straightforward contract?
So, for the record, this is a tool that can be introduced into our long-term capital budget planning, and or annual budget for that matter. And so, it's something that we're really looking forward to getting accomplished. So anyway,
that was the other point that we had discussed in detail, was that it's one thing to get the reports and another thing to have them interfaced into how the port actually uses them. If they just get put on a shelf, then it's wasted money. But if you have a mechanism up front how that those vendors put it in, then it's really worthwhile.
Yeah, actually, this came from a meeting that I went to at Public Works Academy, and basically it's how all of the municipal sewer and water and districts, how they are able to plan their rates so that they can get infrastructure replaced, have capital maintenance projects, and know how much the pump is going to cost and how long it's going to be before they have to pay that cost. And they know how much land they have to buy for the reservoir, and they know when that's going to be. And then they can take all the, once they can't do any financial projections until they have those hard figures. Once they get those hard figures, then the financial projections can be made quite easily out into the future. And the thing that just amazed me, that I thought was almost too good to be true, was that they can, by utilizing a capital expenditures fund, they can make the rates go along at a reasonable rate of increase, and they can assure the money to be there to pay for the funds, rather than having a period of nothing and then all of a sudden, oh my God, we're out of money, we gotta go to the taxpayers, or we gotta make a big raise. They can figure that out, and that's, to me, the end all. But the first hard part is getting the costs and the timeline, and that's where we're embarking.
Thank you.
Okay, any more on the engineering services? Okay, so we'll go to new business. The executive director's delegation of authority.
Right, it's first reading. Again, it's recommended that annually you re-adopt or reapprove the delegation of authority. The only change that staff is recommending is the current spending limit of the director from $15,000 to $25,000. And this was proposed actually by Larry Ozzie, you know, to help keep projects moving along. The language is still in the delegation that at the next regular commission meeting, I would have to report to you that, you know, we spent $18,000 on this or that, whatever the project is. So other than that, everything else in the delegation is as it was. So no decision required today.
I
just like to comment, you know, regardless if it's $15,000 or $25,000, I mean, I got no problem with that. I just kind of going back to what we were talking about this morning, getting control of our costs and our expenditures and possibly looking at avenues to reduce some costs is just something that I just want to emphasize in regards to having, you know, free spending authority. That's all.
Yeah. And most of these projects are things that we probably will have talked about.
Yeah.
You know, their roof replacements and stuff like that. But, and even below the current $15,000, you know, we should be keeping you up to date on those expenditures. And of course, you approve the vouchers anyway, and they're all in there. But if you ever have a question, give us a call.
Yeah.
Okay. New business B, Executive Director's Report on 2014 Changes to the Ports Rules, Regulations, and Procedures.
Part of that delegation of authority and the rules and regs says that, and this Eric wrote this, so excuse the lawyer type words and phrases in here, that in the bill format, those changes will be presented to the commission. And you can see them written out there. There's three of them on the refuse disposal, seaworthiness and operability definitions, and then on fuel truck deliveries. And so as part of the delegation authority, we're providing those information items to you. And we discussed most of these during the course of the year. I don't know if you have any questions about it.
Well,
again, it's not for your approval. What it says is I have to report, you know, the changes to you.
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly in regards to the floating homes and so on. As I'm sure you guys remember, there was an issue with one gentleman that was building a floating home here. And then somehow or another, I don't know, the seamless got crossed or whatever, but he thought he had to leave, and then it turns out he didn't. So anyway, I just want to make sure that that's still the case, that floating homes can be constructed here and they can be finished off in the marina.
Right, I think that's the operative word is construction, mm-hmm. not a permanent residence. Mm-hmm. When I first got here, we had, I want to say about 8 or 10 floating homes. And the city went through the shoreline management program update. And at the same time, DNR was cracking down on floating homes. And the city ended up adopting through their SMP and their city ordinances that they would not be allowed, you know, permanent residents. I think we can handle the construction.
And or repair for that matter, right? I mean, just as long as they're not using it as a residence.
That's right.
Yeah.
If they're getting mail delivered and everything else, then it's a different story.
All right.
Yep. So I report it to you.
Thank you.
See you next year.
Item C, committee assignments.
We do this every January. You should have a list of the current assignments if anybody's got any strong desire to be on a different committee or not be on any committee, you know, kind of let Sue know. I haven't sat down to go through it. There's a lot of these committees that we don't participate in a lot. They're not called that often. Others are pretty standard, like Steve, your MRC is, you know, meets pretty regularly.
2 hours every month.
Yeah. And thank you for wanting to be the primaries. I used to have to go to those meetings. I'm perfectly satisfied to be the alternate for that one. Pete, you've been doing the Fort Warden meetings, and I know, Brad, you had signed up. You know, we used to meet monthly with the Marine Trades. We haven't done that for quite a while, and at some point we may want to start that up again, maybe not monthly.
No, we've been having monthly meetings, so that's...
And I've gone to, you know, some of their board meetings and stuff, but
it's a regular schedule.
But take a look at it. I heard, Pete, that actually it's a different agenda. I'll wait on that.
Well, back to that, you said, Brad, that the Marine Trades has been meeting with you in attendance?
Yeah, they've been having their monthly meetings, and I've been attending.
Okay. Because one of the things that, actually, I didn't know that, one of the things that our commissioner comments are for, like when I go to the MRC meeting, I try to bring back, you know, the stuff that went on there so the rest of the commissioners that don't get to go to the MRC, well, everybody, will be informed of it. And so I was under the impression that the meetings with Port Townsend Marine Trades and the now, are you attending there as a Marine Trader or as a as a commissioner.
As a commissioner.
Okay, yeah, because I'd be interested in having reports during the commissioner comments as to what's going on there.
Happy to do that. There hasn't been, I haven't left with, you know, any new developments really, and they've, it's been mostly, I've been hearing internal, they're having internal developments, put it that way, where they're getting the organization more in tune with, they've been having some difficulties with recruiting members for the board, and then there's been a whole lot of responsibilities been falling on just one or two individuals, and so they haven't had much to report, but that's changing. There's some new energy being introduced.
That's good for us too.
Yeah, it is.
Effective.
And so that you know, I'm going to be able to get some, you know, some input that I can bring back to, you know, to this venue.
Now, one item is about halfway down on the first page, the Jefferson County Joint Growth Management Steering Committee. We don't have anybody down. That's going to have to be an elected official, one of these three.
Which one?
The Jefferson County Joint Growth Management Steering Committee. That is not a committee that meets regularly. When it does meet, it's during the county's comp plan amendment cycle, which they are starting. And so that Joint Growth Management Committee may be called later this year. You don't have to decide now. You know, one of you will have to sign up for that. And it's to attend with City Council as a representative, the PUD as a representative, and of course the three county commissioners. And this is to kind of review some of the proposed changes to the county's comp plan. It's actually a pretty important, we need to be at the table on that because it affects zoning and land use and things like that, so. I don't think it'll happen before fall, so.
Well, one thing I'd like to see in regards to all these committees and meetings and conferences and so on, I don't think if you do too difficult to restructure the spreadsheet and from a cost standpoint, I'd like to get a handle on what, you know, Larry, you're on a lot of committees and you have a lot of conferences to go to, and what I'd like to see is possibly just each one of our names and just divide it out so we can get a handle on how busy is each one of us and, you know, going out of town and, and away from the facility here.
Yeah. And like somebody, I just happened to look at the Puget Sound Partnership that I sit on. Didn't have a single meeting last year. You know, so.
Well, again, it would just be a way of, if there's any concerns, if anybody has any concerns about that, it's just a simple way of putting it to rest. That's all I'm getting.
Yeah. And one thing, Steve, I just noticed the Board Newsletter Committee. We haven't done a newsletter for quite some time, and I don't know what our intent is with our new website and blogs and everything.
Yeah, I'm on that, and I never got a call.
We haven't met at all for that.
I think we need to make that be a retreat topic, because I know my mother's really mad that she hasn't got a newsletter from the board.
So did it really meet three times a year once upon a time?
Yeah. We didn't have a website like we have now, so we did an actual mail-out newsletter three times a year.
And Thompson sat on that. Which is our friend, Shelley Randall was our editor on that, and so we'd meet with her two or three times and give her topics and, you know, kind of review the format, the photos, and actually put a newsletter together, but we haven't done that for over a year.
Printing costs killed us. It was costing us $10,000 in printing.
Really?
Yeah.
For the time we did it. We did two to tenants and one to the leaders. We had to have...
$10,000?
Yeah. So it just got so expensive.
It was so expensive.
Jesus.
Printing. It's all printing.
Yeah, all
printing. It was like, I think it was 100,000 brochures for $3,500.
This is three times a year in mailing. We have to mail everything. We have to pay Scott Wilson to insert it in the leader.
Oh, you're talking about everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about communication. It's very expensive for three newsletters, so.
I'm going to be able to tone that down a little bit.
That's why we're
here on the committee.
That's why we don't do it anymore. Yeah. Save you $10,000 right there. But, yeah, we still have the committee listed there, so we can talk,
Yeah, whether we wanted to continue that or maybe change it to Public Outreach Committee that meets every now and then just to talk in general, you know, the various formats.
Or turn it into a picnic that people would like to come out and hear what we have to say.
Whatever.
And for a lot of this money, we just buy our own, another cover, color cover here and make our own copies, you know. Stamp on them. Okay, let's
take a look at it.
Let's see, I think we've beat up committee assignments. WPPA trustee appointments.
This is one of those things, and it's on that list too, though we actually have to have a vote of the commission. The Washington Public Courts Association, twice a year, and every now and then they'll call a special board meeting, a business meeting of the association. And the trustee, each court, is supposed to have one that is selected by the court commission to be that voting member to cast a vote on behalf of the court district. Normally, at the spring and winter meetings on Friday morning, they have their board of trustee meeting where they pass, you know, their budget and adopt, you know, the minutes from the previous one and any other special efforts that the association is trying to pursue. So last year, you nominated me to be the trustee, and Steve, I think you're the alternate. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do that again. I'm willing to do it again, or if one of you want to be the primary. What that means is if you go to the spring or winter meeting, you got to be there Friday morning.
Well, I think it means you have to go to the spring and winter meeting to be there Friday morning.
Right.
And I had a conversation with Jim saying I wouldn't mind doing that. If they were looking for someone, I'd be willing to sit there for that
Friday. Most of the courts, it's a commissioner that is the trustee, and a lot of times the executive director would be the alternate, you know, in case for some reason.
I got to watch out because Bob Sokol did that. He ended up becoming president of the WPBA.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't mind remaining the alternate because I will go to those meetings. And if you want to be the designee, that's
just my nomination.
Right now.
Okay, so I'm sure you don't want it right now.
No, that's all right. We're nominating.
Well, then I second that nomination. I guess we all vote for you. So I'm saying that you're it.
I can't vote.
Yeah, and you want to be the alternate.
I'll be the alternate.
Yeah.
Wow, you're off duty. Sweet.
I'll probably still be there.
Yeah.
There's all a good breakfast that morning.
Yeah. Okay. So
you need to vote on that.
What's that? Yeah. Oh.
Did you say aye?
Aye. Well, you can vote too. I mean, you accepted, so.
Aye.
No acceptance speech required.
Okay, by golly, we've beat it up. We're down to staff comments, and today we have another member of our staff, our honorary staff, Bill Putney, is going to give us a comment.
Okay.
There's our AWOS, Bill.
The much anticipated AWOS.
The Putney poll.
Yeah. So all the equipment is in my hangar. It's been delivered. The concrete pad for the processor unit and the mast for the VHF transmitter that transmits the weather to the pilots is ready to be poured up at the Spruce Goose. So the staff is rehabbing the power system for the sump pump, the sewage pumps and all that, and as part of the project, and that's all getting poured in concrete. It's ready to go. Fiber optic from the PUD still hasn't been laid, and I've got messages out to Kevin Street to find out what a due date is on that.
But the conduit's all in.
The conduit is all in. But that's one of those check boxes we have to have checked off before we can get on the FAA's schedule to get them to come out to witness the commissioning. And so the longer we kind of push that back, the further out the FAA's, you know, on-site date is. They're there's some rehab of the trenching in the parking lot. That's been done, so that big dip in the parking lot there has been taken care of. There's still some slumping of the backfill, the ditch in the grass area that probably looks like it needs to be taken care of. But if the FAA is on the ball, this thing could actually get turned up in February.
Great.
So I can't imagine it can be done this month, but.
Is Larry, he's like, this is the top of his priority list?
Yeah, Larry Housley, he was on vacation. As soon as he got back, he got right on it, got the forms in. So we're actually moving.
With Larry and I had a meeting out there, spent some time out there this morning, and we worked pretty closely together on getting the board staff and the contractors and all kind of agenda online.
So, Larry, where are the equipment's currently stored? We're not in some kind of insurance, weird insurance void situation, are we? In the event there was an incident?
I don't believe so. You carry insurance on your hangar.
I carry insurance on my hangar.
I'm worried about our equipment in your hangar.
Well, for the time things. Yeah. But it's a steel hangar, and there's not much going on there, so my airplane's not in there. So there's no fuel stored in there. So.
No RVs in there or boats or anything?
My airplane's in
most of the equipment's already up. I mean, the towers are already up there. We're just talking the computer systems, so it's not a whole lot of
sensors. Pretty low risk, I think.
So I had some comment. Are we putting a cyclone fence up? Do we have to?
We don't have to. It's not in the specs. We tried to save money.
Yeah.
What Larry Housley and I have agreed to is let's do it, let's commission it, and decide whether it is a problem or not. From an obstruction point of view, I was at the Spruce Goose the other day, and you really can't even see it out there. If we put a 7-foot cyclone fence around it with barbed wire, you're going to see it. The FAA does not require it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your comments, because I've certainly heard that from the pilots, too, that, God, if we have to put a cyclone fence around this thing.
And we could do some landscaping with bushes and everything, but again, it'll probably make it more visible than it is.
I think it's great.
If you don't, if you went out and sat on the deck of the Spruce Goose and looked towards the runway and you didn't know where it was, you'd have a hard time picking it up.
I just wish we could paint a putty tower green.
A vine arbor in front of it and hang great vines.
Can we paint the VHF tower green?
It's by regulation required to be aviation orange and white, so.
There's nothing about the structure that's really attractive to somebody stealing or thieving to make money, right?
I mean, well, there is that, you know, we've had some vandalism out there. I remember one summer, there's probably some kids, they broke every runway light. You know, all the different colors, not because of the light, but because of the glass globe, you know, or different colors, and they just smashed every one of them. You know, it's a federal offense to do that, and, you know, they never caught them, but. Yeah, that happened like 8 years ago. We haven't really had any vandalism since.
So the computer is locked in a pretty secure vault, but it's going to be really hard for vandalism. It's not
the type of computer, you know.
There's a lot of guys out there. You get the Eric Taylors walking the runway all the time.
Yeah, Pete goes out there every night, and he'll sit for an hour or so, you know. And actually, Homeland Security's out there quite a bit, too. Yeah, and they'll sit in the shadows and observe. Now, the only other thing, and we're going to, the water table is so high this time of year out there. I walked out to the tower the other day, and it's really mushy out there. You know, once it dries out a little bit, come April, May, we may want to get out there and regrade the trench where the conduit was laid and reseed it and all that. But.
Yeah, it's really the grass that is holding the surface together out there. It's really fine sand, and it's so close to this to the water table that it's
so mucky right now. Just trying to drive out there, you'll cause more damage to the grass than so.
But that's the state.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Other staff comments?
Connor? Mm-hmm.
Actually, Chair, I do have something for executive session to discuss executive session.
Oh,
as a follow-on to our
executive
previous session. I've got a few things to hand out. I've got an update.
Oh, so you're not calling for an executive session then, right?
So actually, I'm calling for an executive session to discuss executive session the legalities.
Oh, okay.
But I do have an updated script for it.
Oh, we have that, okay.
So this is pretty benign conversation, but includes some legal counsel about the use of executive sessions.
Okay.
Amy, anything?
Just that we are moving forward with the refinancing of our 2005 LTGO bonds and 2005 revenue refunding bonds. So they're working up some numbers. The initial numbers look like it'll be, over the next 10 years, about a $408,000 savings.
Yay!
So it works out to just over and under $40,000 a year. But so we are moving forward on that. As soon as we have more information, we'll bring it back for approval.
Sue?
No.
Jim?
As you're all aware, Doug Lockhart is retiring from the board after 30 years. We had a posting internally. We had three excellent applicants for that job. Larry and I did interviews with all three. Really, any one of the three could have done a great job. Terry Kyle was selected, and mainly because of his 20 years of service to the yard. He knows the yard well as done. So starting February 1st, Terry will be transferred to the yard as the new yard manager. Doug will stay on for the month of February just for a smooth transition. But March 1, he'll be on his own.
So what does that mean for Terry's current position?
We have a posting for a new mortgage customer service person. We're going to start there, and we're hoping that we're not going to replace the assistant harbor master right now. We're going to just have our customer service rep there and see if our long-term customer service reps can rise to the occasion of the assistant harbor master.
So when you say posting, that's an internal thing. So are we advertising for another person to replace? In other words, someone's leaving. Is there another opening for someone to come in?
Well, that's what
we are. We posted for a new customer service person.
That's a posting for internal, right?
And by
union rule, we have to do it internal first.
Right.
If we don't get anybody, then we'll advertise.
So we've actually got some interest from internal candidates and maintenance that may want to move into customer service. So we're looking at them first, and then we'll go out in the newspaper if we don't find any suitable candidates.
Actually, they were posted in today's Leader, the help wanted, and we also have it on our website.
So I heard from one of the lift operators that you're also considering hiring another lift operator?
We're waiting for Terry to come in. The commission has said that they wanted help for Shannon, and we're waiting to look at how we reorganize the yard. So there is an opening for a lift operator, but we have not hired.
So that's also advertised or posted?
Yes.
So we got two openings then?
Well, yes, yeah. Technically.
And it could, the domino thing, you say somebody in maintenance, ends up being hired, say, for the customer service rep, then now you got an opening in maintenance they would have to advertise for. So it bounces around a little bit. But
Can we eliminate a position by... with the harbor master, assistant harbor master thing?
Yeah, it's what,
well, we just,
customer service
impact. We just brought a new customer service person on to have five, which I feel is a minimum to operate three operations. So by doing that, we're going to cut us down to four, and it's very hard to deal with two operations.
So we may be potentially adding a position above, one position above our current level.
That's true.
Of full-time employees.
That's true. Potentially.
Potentially, when you factor in the yard.
Yeah. I really think we need to think about that yard position before we actually hire him. And that's why I want Terry to get on the job and really look through and not overreact to needing help immediately.
So is this going to be some further dialogue that we're going to have?
You have to, because it would change the org chart, which you have to approve as a commission.
Well, we want to see what interest is out there. One of the things I did is we advertised in the Bremerton Sun or the Kitsap Sun because we really want to see if we can find somebody with heavy equipment operation skills. But again, we can't hire that person without you changing the org chart.
Yeah, maybe somebody coming out of the Navy shipyards or something like that.
But this is all down our own?
Yeah, we're not doing it right away. So. just two things. I want to remind you, the boat show is going to start up next week. So you're all welcome to come on over. And then tomorrow I'll be at the city all day on the interview panel for the new city planning director. They've got seven candidates that from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock will be interviewing.
Is that on this list here of committees, Larry?
No. That's just the one time they called me up a couple weeks ago and asked, you know, Philip Morley, what they wanted is some other government reps, since this is the person that gives out our permits and controls a lot of the land use within the city limits.
You know, could that be added to this list then?
Well, it's not really a standing committee. It's just this one-time hire. You know, it may never... I was on the last one, you know, like 6 years ago or something.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, public comments. Bill.
So, reluctant as I am to volunteer someone else to do something, I think it would be really great if Commissioner Pete here would make himself an alternate to the WPPA Aviation Committee. Respectfully suggesting.
He has attended. He could have.
I am already that, pretty much, by de facto, but it could be, we could add that on. When I go to the conventions, that's the committee I go to.
Yeah, we kind of divide up. Jim and Pete kind of go to the Aviation Committee, and Steve and I go to the Marina Committee.
And I'd be happy to report to you too, Bill. I mean, I could, because you represent the Pilots Association, so I could tell you what's being said there.
I know that from time to time, every time I go out to the airport and stand in the parking lot and watch people drive across it and drag rocks onto the active surfaces from the unpaved parking areas, I think to myself, gee, how much would it cost to get these things like chip sealed or something? Is that something that could be taken up as an action item in some kind of near future? Just is one of those little tiny, really small areas on the airport that, because it doesn't get FAA funding and because it's not a dedicated county road, it's just kind of left in limbo, and it's significantly improved the look and feel of the airport and would reduce the amount of debris gets dragged out onto the tarmac to create problems for transient aircraft.
I'll talk to you then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's a money thing.
Any other public comments? Pete?
I'd like to at least see if you guys are going to do something for Doug. I think Doug really, for the last 35 years I've been living here, I've worked with Doug the entire time. I think all the boats and his expertise was really well utilized by the port. And I think Doug was also one of the most personable operators that you've ever had out there. He was a guy who would get down in the mud with you, do whatever needed to happen. So I think for his retirement, the commission should consider doing something over and beyond for Doug.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buy him a big bottle of whiskey.
George.
Maybe you guys can sing him a song like they used to sing.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to thank you folks for the workshop this morning, particularly going into your retreats. I think the approach that all of you expressed, that the buck stops here, we are going to finally resolve or certainly take a darn good crack at taking care of the financial long-term solutions to the port, I think is excellent. I sent you a letter last week outlining three issues before you, and they're the very same issues that your managers addressed in the 2015 budget. Please look at that. The cash flow issue is a critical issue. That's one of those things that you cannot delay. And it begs the question, how much of the property tax should go to to help each sector, if you will, or subsidize, depending on your frame of reference. And if it is to subsidize them, how long? Is there some kind of a plan with which to finally get some kind of a return on the taxpayers' investment into the port? So I suggest that you look at that. And the last item is, I went home and looked at the 2008 comprehensive scheme, and your agenda for your meeting is right there. It's bulleted right out there. The same things that you folks, Larry went through with you this morning are the exact same things in 2008. So now you get a crack at it. And I wish you well on it.
So George, you mentioned you sent a letter to us. I didn't receive a letter.
Is that the Ron Hayes thing?
Sue?
No.
I'm not sure what letter you're referring to.
The other thing from Ron, the spreadsheet.
I haven't seen
that. I handed you my letter and you read it.
I read it.
And then I said, copy this off for the staff. Maybe it didn't get done, or the commission. I'll send that to you again.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, no further public comments. We'll go to commissioner comments.
None?
I think we've talked quite a bit today on a lot of issues.
Oh, man, I got more to say.
You got more?
Yeah, I got more to say. I'm sorry. I wanted to thank Pete for coming clear back from Hawaii because he realizes these commission meetings are very important. I think that's very, very good, very above and beyond. It's a good thing to do, Pete. And
it's a long ways.
Yes, a long ways. So I wanted to say I really appreciate it. One thing, I went to my MRC meeting, and you know, we'd had the group of folks up from Tacoma, the divers, and I thought, oh, that's an anomaly. Maybe a bunch of guys fell in love with our place, and there's four of them in the group, and they came up here to our meeting. But the MRC meeting, I discovered there's a lot more than just them. The MRC is I'm not sure if you all know the makeup of the MRC. It's a bunch of scientific folks that are working in research to, you know, technically fix this thing, and they were all in unanimous agreement. And I started doing more and more work on trying to figure this. By the way, I took all my gear down to get it, my tanks hydroed and my regulator service, so I'm going to look at it. And I discovered in the process of doing that we have probably one of the premier dive shops in the whole state of Washington right here in Port Townsend. I didn't realize that. This guy does all the regulators for practically everybody. And he's a well-known person. And I also discovered, and I knew this kind of before, when I got certified in 86, I got certified in Bellingham because that's where my instructor was, but we all came down to Keystone to do our open water dives. And people that get certified in Oregon will come up to Keystone to do their open water dives. They chose Keystone with kind of an oddity, but the fellow at the dive shop says that they would just as easily or just as happily go here to the breakwater, and that now that we have a dive shop here, that might be a real viable option. And we were talking again about things like getting rid of derelict boats, which is one of the things that the guys from Tacoma may not have mentioned, is that right at the very end of the breakwater, there's an old barge that's just full of sea life. And they suggested that we just move the rocks down to create more habitat, which is a really good thing to do. And a lot of people are actually getting hundreds of thousands of dollars of federal funding on the East Coast to create artificial reefs by putting old boats and airplanes and stuff down there.
I got one old donate.
That's exactly. The port has old boats. And I think that Larry said that they tried doing this in the past. They tried talking to DNR about putting something down there. But the more, and I didn't have any idea that this whole culture existed until I started scratching the surface. But I can see a realistic method of us getting rid of DNR boats, because DNR has to pay to have us break them up, and they're the ones that would say no or yes to putting them down there. and creating more of an artificial reef, in which case, then I think that we could, in addition to becoming a fishing destination because of our natural mid-channel bank, we could also become a diving destination and save us money in boat disposals, and it really would be hardly any cost to us. And so anyway, that was one thing that I had brought up to me at the last MRC meeting. So apparently we're...
If I could just make a comment though, Steve, just...
You're going to rain on my parade.
Yeah, I'm going to rain on it.
I'm going to rain on the parade.
Because I did look into it about a decade ago, and it's DNR tideland, so you do have to get DNR permission.
Right.
And I've got to look out for the liability issue of the port. And at the time, there were some big liability issues with not properly preparing a vessel or an airplane or whatever it is, an old truck or something, in case some diver goes down there and gets trapped inside the hull and dies, and you know, where'd this vessel come from? Well, the port threw it in the water down there, you know, and suddenly, you know, he's standing in front of the judge trying to defend us. You know, so it's just something to look
at. But it has been done successfully.
It has been done successfully.
It's a decommissioned process that's already established.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to take hatches off, and openings have to be made a certain width. And
well, just like Edmonds, they made that into an underwater diving park. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, where we tried to do it was not off Point Hudson, but in the crescent there between Point Hudson and the Marine Science Center.
Yeah.
Because that was outside any navigation lanes, and we thought it'd be a nice safe area. Plus, you have a nice sandy beach for people to operate off.
I've dove through that wreck off of Sydney, that destroyer that's there. What's the name of it?
Up where?
Sydney, British Columbia. They've got a Navy destroyer, and it's got big square holes where you can penetrate in. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can swim around the engines. And
we'll look at it if you want.
Okay, so... The next meeting is going to be scheduled for Wednesday, January the 28th, 5:30, here at the Port Commission building. And we're now going to adjourn into executive session, and I have a new script to read. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no ladies out there, the Commission will now be convening an executive session. This executive session is called pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, and will be held in order to discuss executive sessions. The executive session will last approximately, how many minutes, Connor?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? During this time, we respectfully request the audience to vacate the commission chambers. If for any reason executive session is to expect it to last longer than anticipated, we will notify you by announcing the extension time needed outside the commission chambers. Decisions or actions are not expected following the conclusion of executive session. That's it.
It's just a request.
What's that?
It's just a request.
A request.
It's a request.
What?